One of the many things that every one of us in this room has in common is that we are all getting older. Of course, the fact is some of us have been at it quite a while longer than the rest of us have. Gene Calment died on August the 4th, 1997, at the verified age of 122 years. In her later years, she became quite famous as being the oldest living person whose lifespan could be legally verified. On one occasion, a reporter asked her to describe her vision for the future. Very brief, she said. When asked what she liked best about being so old, she said, "Well, there's no peer pressure." I heard about an old fellow who was filling out an application to one of those retirement homes very carefully, very deliberately putting down all of the answers in those little blanks. And after filling in his address, he came to the blank that said zip. And in that blank, he wrote, "About normal for my age." In the United States today, the population over 85 years old is the fastest growing segment. And the number of citizens in the United States over 85 years old will double by the year 2030. Since 1900, the lifespan or the life expectancy in the United States has increased by 65%. Now, all of that doesn't mean that we're going to live forever here in the United States. But what it does mean is that God is blessing us with allowing us more and more opportunities to shape our legacy. Legacy. What's that? Legally, the word legacy means a bequest or an inheritance, something that is left as in a will to survivors of a person. I'm not going to try to tell you tonight what to do with your riches and treasures. I feel like I can put in a free plug, though, for Faulkner University. We have a living legacy program. If you would like to discuss the matter of leaving Faulkner University in your will, you can talk to Brother Ben Bruce about that because he heads up that department. But what we're going to talk about tonight has nothing whatsoever to do with your money or your property. In fact, let me give you the definition that I have for the purpose of this lesson. Your legacy is that which, after you have died, lingers on in the minds and in the lives of those who were touched, led, influenced, and trained by your efforts when you were alive. That which lingers on after you've died in the minds and in the lives of those who came under your influence while you lived. That is your and my legacy. Now, in our culture today, it seems like people are just obsessed with the desire to not be forgotten. Did you know that there are over 100 sports halls of fame in the United States alone? There are more than 25 music halls of fame in the United States. In fact, if you go down the list, there's a hall of fame for just about everybody, and in a couple of categories, I was really surprised to find. There is a stuntman hall of fame. There is a state politician hall of fame. A best dressed men hall of fame. A dentist hall of fame. And my favorite of all, the loose cannon hall of fame. Some folks will do just about anything to be remembered. But the question is, what will we be remembered for? In recent years, it seems like our nation has become obsessed with presidential legacies. I remember during the final months of President Bill Clinton, practically everything that he did, some of which I don't think were in the nation's best interest, all of those things were labeled by his detractors as he's working on his legacy. Of President George W. Bush, his detractors said that he might be the first president in a long time that doesn't leave a legacy. We are always looking for the legacy of someone, what they did to be remembered by. But folks, this is serious business. Your legacy involves a whole lot more than just what you want written on your tombstone. I heard of a fellow who had this written on his tombstone. He was a simple man who died of complications. Someone else had this inscription: I came into this world without my consent, and I left in the same manner. A dentist in Australia had this put on his headstone: stranger, tread here with gravity. Dennis Brown is filling his last cavity. Our legacy. What is left from our lives when we're gone, especially spiritually thinking. Spiritually speaking is what we need to be thinking about tonight. For the rest of our time, I'd like for us to consider three questions which are suggested from the text of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." As I said, there are three questions that I'd like for us to take a look at. And the first one is this: what kind of departure will you have? Now, I know immediately someone says, "Well, we don't know how we're going to die." And that's not really what I'm talking about. We don't know how we're going to die. But in view of what Paul said regarding his departure being at hand, he exhibited in his attitude as he wrote that passage several things, and some word pictures come to mind as Paul describes himself. First of all is the word willing. He says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering." The Apostle Paul saw his life as an offering to God. Now, an offering to God is something that is made freely and willingly. It's not something that is done of coercion or of force or because we feel that we're obligated to. In fact, I remember the words that David spoke when someone offered to give him a threshing floor upon which to offer a sacrifice and the animals with which he could form the sacrifice. And David said, "No, I will purchase them, for I will not offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing." A sacrifice to God is willing. It's also something that means something. It's not something that's insignificant. It's not something that has no value to us. It's not something that we wouldn't miss anyway, and so we'll just give it to God. All of those kind of thoughts bring to my mind the word willing or willingness. As Paul approached the time of his departure from this earth, he was very much willing to go. Now, you may be among that number of people who will leave this life kicking and screaming and trying to grab hold of everything that you can reach here in order to have an anchor to hold you here. I don't pretend to know why some people have that approach to the idea of dying, but I suppose that some of them have that approach because they realize that this life will be the last good thing that they will enjoy. Paul was willing to leave this life behind and go on to the next. The great willingness expressed there in his words, "I'm being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." I don't read those words with a term of woefulness. I don't read those words being given with the feeling of great sadness or tragedy. I see there a willingness to go on to something better. And then I think we see in Paul's words a willingness and a readiness. He was ready to go. The image of a ship comes to mind as it prepares to leave one port and go toward the next. As the anchor is raised and the moorings are untied, the ship does everything to prepare for setting sail to that new destination. Paul said, "I've made all the preparations. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pull up the anchor. I'm ready to untie the lines. I'm ready to run up the sails. I'm ready to get started." Are you ready to go? Somebody says, "I'm ready to go, but I just don't want to leave right now." That's a valid concern in some ways. In fact, the Apostle Paul expressed that on occasion. Paul said, "I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place." He said, "On the one hand, I want to stay here because it's good for you. And I can teach you and encourage you and guide you and lead you. But," he said, "oh, at the same time, I really would like to go on and be with the Lord because that's so much better." God may not be finished with you here yet. But I believe His Word teaches us that if we have the right approach to accomplishing His will with our lives, we're ready to go without any notice. Content to stay here and to do those things that He would have us to do, but rejoicing at the fact that one day we will go. All of Paul's preparations had been made, but they had not been made just at the last minute. From time to time, as we look around us, we are reminded, in fact, in some very stark ways sometimes, of our own mortality. When death reaches its cold hand out and steals a loved one away unexpectedly, or disease, sickness, some kind of tragedy, we are brought again face to face with the reality that we were not created to live here on this earth forever. we need to be ready. And part of the readiness is a frame of mind that leaves it all in God's hands. There's a third word that I think is appropriate here, and it's the word release. Paul knew that he was about to be released from his burdens. He was about to be allowed to go to the rest that God had prepared for him. Very much like a beast of burden that is allowed to step out of the traces, having the yoke lifted off from around his neck and shoulders, Paul was about to be unburdened and released. Isn't it a shame that the majority of humanity lives in such a way on this earth that they view death and leaving this earth as a tragedy rather than in the way that God's Word describes it for His people as being released from burdens and going on to rest? Paul had given his all for Jesus, and now he was about to be able to go home. What kind of departure will you have? Number two, I'd like for us to ask ourselves this question: what kind of legacy will I leave? Paul's legacy was based on what he had done, the work that he had accomplished for the sake of the Lord. Paul says three things about his work which would stand as his legacy. First of all, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. There's effort. You don't fight a good fight unless you have put forth your effort. The fighting of fights is not something that's done accidentally. It's not something that's done unintentionally. The fighting of the good fight is only done with great effort. Paul said he had finished the race. The terminology that he used there is reminiscent of the athlete who goes through the course, not only finishing and getting to the end, but also staying within the boundaries that have been set, abiding by the rules, finishing the race, not being disqualified from the competition. He had disciplined himself. We live in a very undisciplined society. Our culture is not known for its discipline. One of the greatest hindrances to the leaving of a good spiritual legacy when we're gone is a lack of discipline. Then Paul says, I have kept the faith. His faithfulness to the cause of Christ was beyond question. That's right, Paul hadn't served Jesus all of his life. In fact, by many measures, he had gotten a late start. That fact should never take away from our desire to accomplish the Lord's will with faithfulness, knowing that we weren't working for the Lord all of our lives. Yet to be able to know that when we start working for the Lord, we'll be faithful to work for Him for the rest of our days is part of what a legacy is made from. When you leave this life, what kind of impact will you have made? The psalmist says in Psalm 71, verse 18, So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. There's the heart and soul of our legacy. The psalmist says, Lord, don't take me until I have told those coming up all about you. Now, I dare say that there are far too many of us who see our mission here upon this earth as being sufficiently full of challenges, just keeping everything going right in our lives, and we just really don't have a whole lot of time to spend on those young whippersnappers that are coming along. They'll just have to learn it for themselves. That's not the way it works. That's not what God said. That's not what the psalmist said. Do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all those to come. Our third question that's suggested by Paul's statement there is, of course, what kind of reward will you receive? Paul said, so far as his reward, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What kind of reward will you receive? Somebody says, well, I don't know. I hope it'll be good. I hope you find a little bit more substance to your life and your relationship with God. If all you have is a maybe-so approach to the reward. I want to close our study this evening by reading to you some words of a song, which I guess kind of gave birth to this lesson. It's one of the most meaningful songs I think I have ever heard. It's sung by one of the current popular religious musicians. In fact, I believe the words were written by Stephen Green as well as sung by him. It's called Find Us Faithful. Listen carefully to what it says. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness, passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all that come behind us find us faithful. What kind of legacy will you leave?